So again, our sermon text this evening, open in your Bibles, 936 of the Pew Bible. Our sermon text this evening is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. And our sermon will really focus on just verses 15 through 17. So hear the word of God, 2 Timothy. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from all of them the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray for God's help. Father, we have just read about the word of God written and the power in the scriptures. God, these same scriptures tell us that the word of God preached is as powerful as the word of God written. And Father, we pray for that this evening. We pray for power. We pray for soft hearts, fallow ground, good soil, and good crops. Give us listening ears, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Lemon, turtle, squiggly line, purple triangles floating in the air, walking down the road. Are you left or television? Run! Are you confused? That's sort of the point, right? That opening jumble of words was pointless. No rhyme or reason. Don't psychoanalyze me, okay? I have nothing. Purple triangles don't do anything for me, okay? I purple triangles did not feature prominently in my childhood. Don't psychoanalyze me, okay? No rhyme or reason to the words spoken. Now, why don't people talk like madmen and madwomen? Well, thankfully, God has given us reason. But most of all, people speak for a reason. People speak to do stuff, either to inform us or correct us or to just be cordial, right? Hey, how are you doing? I'm good, thanks. Even the astute listener will realize that that opening jumble of words was spoken to make you realize that no one speaks like that. People speak for a reason. God is no different. Paul writes to Timothy about the scriptures, and he tells him that the scriptures have been breathed out by God through his apostles and prophets. God has spoken in the scriptures. But God has spoken for a purpose. And that purpose can be summarized very briefly as this. God has spoken in the scriptures to change our lives. God has spoken in the scriptures to change our lives. And of course, that's no more true for Timothy than it is for you and for me. So for our sermon, I want us to be dwelling on God's purposeful and life-changing speech in the scriptures. And what I want us to come away with is this. Because God will change our lives through the scriptures, we must be saturated in them. We must be saturated in them. So I want us to look at two ways that God uses the scriptures to change lives. Two ways, these will be our two points. So how will God change your life through the scriptures? Point one, God uses the scriptures to save you. God uses the scriptures to save you. We're going to zoom in on verse 15, and we're going to look at how God uses the scriptures to save you by dissecting three things. First, again, just note the purpose of the scriptures. Again, Paul tells Timothy, I want you to eat these scriptures. I want you to base your ministry on these scriptures. Why? Because God has spoken and God can save you through them. Look down at verse 15. See if I can find it. Yes, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Make you wise for salvation. That's an amazing thing. The scriptures are so powerful that you can be saved by them. Make you wise for salvation. You can pass from death to life by hearing a sermon based on the scriptures, by reading the scriptures. Again, that is the power and the purpose of God's voice. So God's purpose in the scriptures, among other things, is salvation. And now you might be asking, well, how do I get the salvation promised in those scriptures? So first, the purpose of the scriptures. Now let's look at the means of getting salvation. Okay, is there a means that Paul tells us that we have to use to get the salvation that's in the scriptures? Well, if salvation is in the scriptures, right, you look at them, if it's in here, then you have to eat them. Everyone should take their Bibles, their pew Bibles, and just rip them into little parts, right? And just eat them, right? If salvation is in the book, eat the book and you get salvation, right? No, clearly not. What is the means of salvation that Paul talks about? Look at verse 15 again. These sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation. And then here's the means, through faith. Through faith. Paul says that the scriptures must be received by faith. That is the means we get salvation. Again, you think about a car. It could be working perfectly fine, but if it's not turned on and your foot's not on the pedal, it's not going to go anywhere. Paul tells us that you will not be saved without faith. You need faith in order to be saved. You need to believe the truths of the scriptures. Right? So you have to, you don't eat the scriptures, obviously. You don't wear it as a hat, right? You have to believe the truths in the scriptures. So what have we seen so far? So God's purpose in the scriptures, the reason he's spoken them, is so that we would be saved. We must, in order to appropriate that salvation, we must have faith. But then finally, we need to see the object of faith in the scriptures. We should believe all of the scriptures, but if you want to be saved, you must have faith in Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 15. Again, this is one phrase very important to dissect for us. These sacred writings, verse 15, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So again, anytime you see faith or believe in the New Testament, it means 99.9% of the time, trust. Right? So you can be saved through the scriptures if you trust in Jesus Christ. You trust in the claims he makes. You trust that he can take away your sins. You trust that he can open the way to God for you. You trust that according to the scriptures, he has died and he has risen again. And again, the important thing to remember is that you cannot trust in Jesus Christ without the scriptures. You cannot trust in Jesus Christ without the scriptures. You need the knowledge of Jesus Christ that the scriptures give in order to be saved. Again, we're going through early heresies. You cannot believe in an Arian Christ and be saved. You cannot believe in a docetic Christ and be saved. You must believe in the true Jesus who is only found in the Bible. So again, you have to know the scriptures. The scriptures are important if you want to have salvation through Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's summarize verse 15. So by means of faith, you can receive salvation in Jesus Christ through the Holy Scriptures. But you have to have all three. Okay, you got to have the wise for salvation, you got to have faith, and you got to have Jesus Christ. And now you might be asking yourself, okay, I get that I should trust Jesus Christ, and I get that knowledge of Jesus Christ comes through the scriptures, but what does that mean? What does that mean practically? Imagine that you had a treasure map of Shawnee Forest. And you look at this treasure map and there are some big black dotted lines, and then there's a big red X. X points to the treasure. And then at the very bottom, it says 1 inch equals 3 miles. Right? So it's a map, right? It's a treasure map. So you take your hiking gear, you take a shovel, and you take the map. And you go into the forest, and you follow the map, you follow the dotted lines, and then you come to the place where you think the X is. And so you start digging. And you've dug for about 3 feet, and then you start to notice something. Start to notice that something looks gray in there. So you jump down in that hole, you dust off the dirt, and you see that gray is actually metal reinforcements for wood. So there's wood and metal. So then you keep digging, and guess what it is, right? You're not dummies. You know what it is. It's a treasure chest. There's a treasure chest in the hole. So you take the treasure chest out, you get it out of the hole, and you enjoy the treasure. That's what rational people do with treasure maps. Wouldn't it be really weird if you had a treasure map and you memorized it? You memorized it. You studied the papyrus it was written on. You could tell me everything about the author. But then you never actually went and looked for the treasure. That would be strange. It would also be strange if you went into the Shawnee Forest with an excavator without a map. And you just started digging a ton. Just digging random holes wherever and hoping to find treasure. Hopefully you're getting the point. And I'm seeing some smiles, maybe some people have gone searching for forest in the Shawnee Forest, or searching for treasure in the Shawnee Forest. Hopefully you see the analogy, right? The scriptures are the map, salvation in Christ is the treasure, and faith is what makes you go, right? You have to have faith in what the scriptures say, and that will cause you to trust in Jesus Christ. You need all three. So again, let's put all this together, right? If you can truly receive salvation in Jesus Christ through the scriptures, by faith, if you can receive them, if you can have God for your Father through the scriptures, through salvation, if you can have the Holy Spirit through the scriptures, through salvation, through trust in Jesus Christ, then we should be saturated in the scriptures. We should be saturated in the scriptures. We should know the treasure map, not just to crush Bible trivia at the bar, but so that we can get the treasure, so that we can know Christ. But again, you should not use the Bible and know the Bible if you don't actually get the treasure. So you should know the scriptures and saturate yourself in them, but you should use them to get Christ. So again, you must know the scriptures and be saturated in them. How do I do that, you ask? Read the Bible. Read it cover to cover. Read one book over and over and over again. Some people read the narrative portions of the Bible. They skip the prophets and the epistles and just do Old Testament narrative and the Gospels. You can do that. You can read Matthew, you can read John, you can read Ephesians, you can read Exodus, Isaiah, the Psalms. But you should read the scriptures. You can be saved through them. You can get blessing through the scriptures. That is a great promise. So again, we're asking the question, how does God change our lives through the scriptures? God has spoken for a purpose, right? Point one was all about salvation. God uses the scriptures to save us, and therefore we should be saturated in them. Now at this point, if you're a Christian, you might be thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, I have some good news for you. I'm already saved. So I'm going to take this treasure map, and I'm going to rip it to shreds. I've already got the treasure. Now that would be a logical implication of everything that I've said if God's only purpose in speaking was salvation. But just as we speak for many purposes, so God speaks for many different purposes. Overarching umbrella is to change us, and that ultimately comes through salvation. But in point two, I want us to see that God also speaks so that we would be sanctified. So God speaks, point one, so that we would be saved. Point two, we should know the scriptures and be saturated in them because God has spoken to sanctify us. Again, verse 15, make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But then he talks about in verses 16 and 17 how God uses the scriptures for our sanctification, our growing in holiness. That's what sanctification means. Verses 16 and 17. Excuse me. So again, here's another purpose for the scriptures. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Again, we're going to see three more things in these verses. And again, first, I want us to note the purpose. And I really want to hit this point again and again because we need to know that God has spoken for a reason. So look at the purpose, right? Paul starts off verse 16 by telling us the origin of all the scriptures. He says that they are breathed out by God. Again, that word means that God himself has spoken through the apostles and prophets. God did not write with a human hand. The scriptures, right? Paul wrote the scriptures. John wrote the scriptures. The Old Testament prophets wrote the scriptures. God did write the Ten Commandments, but most of what we have in here is written by the finger of men. God inspired those men, breathed out into those men, right? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Well, verse 16 tells us that God breathed out these scriptures for a particular reason, right? They are profitable. Look at that. All scripture, verse 16, is breathed out by God and profitable for X, Y, Z, L, M, N, O, P. Profitable means useful, right? Something that is useful or profitable can do stuff, right? Think of a hammer. What is a hammer profitable for? For hitting nails. What is a comedian profitable for? For making you laugh. The scriptures are profitable for various things that can be summed up in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So again, the scriptures were spoken so that men and women and boys and girls would do good works, so that they would be holy. So again, that's their purpose. The purpose of the scriptures is, yes, salvation, but it is also sanctification. So now I want us to look at two ways that God uses the scriptures to sanctify us. First, there is a negative way, and then there is a positive way. So if you look at verse 16, Paul lists two negative aspects of scripture that help us in our sanctification. Paul writes that the scriptures are profitable for reproof and for correction. Now the word reproof there probably more has to do with what we believe, and the word correction probably more so with how we live. So they reprove us when we are wrong, and they correct us when we go astray. Again, God is personal, right? If we go astray, God sometimes through the scriptures has to give us a stern word of reproof, a stern word of correction. Sometimes God has to tell us, no, you shall not do that. You cannot do that. You must not do that. He has to correct us. So if you're hanging out again with a person who's an American history buff and you say, well, during the 1840s, when the Civil War was raging on, they'd immediately, what would they do? They would correct you. They would reprove you. No, Civil War, 1861 to 65. Thank you very much. And again, that's what the Bible does. And that's what God does in the Bible. God reproves false teachings. God corrects bad behavior through the scriptures. So if we start believing the wrong things, the Word of God can reprove us. Just think about the book of Galatians, right? Talked about mood and tone this morning, right? Paul writes that and he's not too happy. He's full of stern reproof. Why? Because believing those things is really, really bad. Error is very, very dangerous. So again, that's why Paul's tone is harsh at times in Galatians. And again, when we hear Jesus say something like, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy to be my disciple," that hurts, right? I mean, Jesus is warning us, he is correcting us against a tepid view of discipleship. "But pastor, I thought the Bible was God's love letter to us. Why is there all this negative reproof and correction in the scriptures?" Well, raise your hand if you're perfect. If you're perfect, you don't need correction or reproof. And again, you think about the child who loves their parents, right? You see your little toddler dawdling along, about to go into the interstate, and you know, sort of yawn and applaud the child for, "No, of course not." No, the loving parent yells at the child, says, "Stop, come back, what are you doing?" and rushes and gets the child. That's why God has to speak negatively in the scriptures sometimes, because God is speaking for our sanctification. There are certain things that we must not believe and must not do if we would be holy and safe. Again, God loves us. That's why he speaks hard things to us. Hear what Solomon writes in Proverbs 3. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." So again, why does God sometimes have to speak negative words for us? We need them for our holiness. But again, the Bible is not all, "Don't do this, don't believe that." There's a positive aspect to the scriptures too, and that's what I want us to look at. Thirdly, look at verse 16 again. "The scriptures are profitable for those other things, but also for teaching and for training in righteousness." Right? So why is the Bible useful for teaching? Well, all scripture has been breathed out by God. Right? Every single word of scripture is true. It is profitable for teaching us the truth, because what the Bible says is what God says. Every word in here is perfect from God. That's why it's useful. So again, everything that God says is true. God's word can satisfy our need to know the truth. We need to know where stuff came from. So God's word can sanctify us as we believe the truths of creation, the fall, the Trinity, total depravity, hell and heaven, etc., etc. But again, it's not only by believing the truth that we become holy, but it's also the scriptures help us become holy by training us in righteousness. Training us in righteousness. Being holy is something that can be learned. It's something that you can grow in. And again, Paul is saying that the scriptures can train us through what they say to become holier and holier and holier bit by bit. And again, you just think of the nature of training, right? You don't need to train a horse that can already see a human. No, you train a horse because it can't see a human, and your training process is to get it to sit a rider, right? And that's what Paul is saying of the scriptures. God can use them to train us in righteousness. So you probably know how American involvement in World War II goes, right? We get bombed at Pearl Harbor, we get super mad, and then we send a bunch of untrained factory workers and farmers out that way and out that way, and they start kicking butt everywhere. Kicking bottom, sorry. They kick bottom everywhere. And of course, no, that's not how it goes, right? The armed forces were training for years and years and years. And so actually in the years 1940 and 1941, if you were in Louisiana or Texas, you might have been scared seeing American soldiers fully armed, tanks, fully loaded, steaming through large parts of Louisiana and Texas. It's because the army was conducting these massive training maneuvers. They were called the Louisiana maneuvers. It was Americans versus Americans. Now, obviously not real battles. They didn't shoot each other, right? But the army figured our army needs to train. Commanders need practice in issuing commands. Our soldiers need travel going long distances. Our engineers need practice blowing up bridges, X, Y, Z. Again, they knew that it took training and practice to improve at warfare. Again, those maneuvers were designed to help the army grow as soldiers and as a unit. Again, Paul is saying that righteousness takes training. We need to improve at holiness. Again, post-fall, holiness does not come naturally to us. But the good news is, if you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and you have the Holy Scriptures, you have the true voice of God speaking in them, and if God's purpose is to make you holy through them, then you can grow in righteousness. And again, how do you train in holiness? You train by trying, right? You try to obey the commands. Sometimes you succeed. Sometimes you fail. Right? But God speaks to us so that we would grow in holiness. So over time, we should be more self-controlled than we were a few years ago. We should be more loving than we were a few years ago if we are listening to the Scriptures. We should be more forgiving than we were a few years ago if we are listening to the voice of the Scriptures. So again, I think the obvious conclusion for us is that if the Scriptures help us grow, then we have to be saturated in them. We need to know God's voice in the Scriptures. Again, growth in holiness comes through the Word of God. And the good news is that you've already got the biggest box checked. If you're coming to Lord's Day worship, you're getting God's Word. You're getting it read, you're getting it preached. That's very good. But if we're to be saturated in the Scriptures, do something more than Lord's Day worship. That would be my challenge to you. Whatever works for you, pick a plan, be consistent. Do it one day a week, 3 days a week, Lord's Day afternoon, something. Anything's better than nothing. Saturate yourselves in the Scriptures. But again, I hope that it's clear that God's Word must be central in our lives. It must be central in our lives. God has given us the Scriptures for a very gracious purpose, so that we would be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. God has saved us through Christ from the guilt and the penalty of our sins. But God has also given us the Scriptures so that we would be more and more freed from the power of sin and alive to God in Christ, salvation and sanctification. So again, we must be saturated in the Scriptures because God has spoken for a reason. Let's pray.